Welcome. The topic today is logic models. Just like one might map out your intended journey before taking a trip, a logic model provides a similar map for programs about where they want to go and how they plan to get there. To learn more about logic models and how they can be useful for public leaders and program managers, we're joined by an expert on the topic, Tom Chappell. He's the Chief Evaluation Officer at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. He joins us by phone from Atlanta. Tom, welcome.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
You've noted that logic models are one way to describe a program, and probably the easiest way to describe a program. Start us off with the big picture. Why is having a clear program description so useful?
There's actually a quote I always use when I start my logic model class, and it's something I heard on NPR a couple years ago, that people are naturally wired to walk in circles. That if you blindfold someone, put them in an open field, and if they can't see their destination, they'll think they're walking straight and they'll actually walk in circles. And that's pretty much what we face as people doing programmatic things. It's very easy to get caught up in the minutia of what we're doing and to kind of forget why we're doing it and what we're trying to accomplish. So for me, the most important thing about logic models is to make sure people understand it's never about the logic model. It's never about the technique. It's about the underlying reason for doing it, which is this thing we call program description, which it contains both clarity on what you do, the activities or the strategies, and also the so what of what you do, who or what beyond your efforts is supposed to change. And a lot of people freak out because they assume in the CDC environment that always means morbidity and mortality change, or in a social services environment, improve quality of life. Well, yeah, ultimately that's sort of the lighthouse way in the distance. But what the logic model helps you do is to map from where you're starting all the way out to that destination. What are the milestones you're going to see along the way? And that we call that program description. There's a lot of ways to do it. I think I can persuade most people logic models are probably the cleanest and easiest way to do it.
So a logic model is a type of program description. Maybe before we go too much farther, it would be good to ask, how do you define a program?
So I think of a program, as I use it, as any set of related activities where you can name the intended outcome or outcomes that are supposed to result. So viewed that way, you can see that logic models would operate at any level of an organization. So in class, I would always point out that we can do a logic model for CDC, the agency, for one of our divisions, for a program one of our divisions funds, for that program as it plays out in each of 62 jurisdictions we fund. All of those are programs. What that means is if you're going to use a logic model or a program description fruitfully, you really need to decide at the start what is the program that I'm actually going to model here, because any of those are completely appropriate things to model, but the logic models for them are going to look very different, both in terms of what constitutes an activity, what constitutes an outcome, and probably the level of generality or detail.
Okay, so with that background and knowing that a logic model is a type of program description, how do you explain more specifically what a logic model is?
So when I think about the programs I work with, and this would be CDC programs, social services programs, a lot of the community-based programs that I work with as a volunteer often, the first thing I'm always trying to get someone to understand in their program description, and consequently it's how I first use the model, is the distinction between activities and outcomes. And this is the fundamental problem most people have, is the inability to distinguish the what of their program from the so what of their program. And some of that's reasonable, particularly with community-based organizations. It's so hard to implement your program day-to-day that the simple fact you got through the day is such an accomplishment, you want to own that as an outcome. But the trouble is most people holding us accountable are interested in the so what. They're not interested in how much pain and suffering went into doing your program. They want to know, why did it matter? What was the payoff? How did it benefit, you know, those who you're trying to help? And that's become increasingly clear as we're a decade or two into this accountability environment in the federal government. So the first and foremost thing logic models do is force you to ask, when you think about your program or look at the narrative about your program, is this something that we do as a program, or is this some way that something or some condition or somebody outside of our program will change, right? The second thing logic models do is they take that outcome side, the so what of your program, and they force you to think sequentially. What's the order in which I expect these outcomes to occur? What's the logical connections among them? I would say that if you did only those two steps in the logic modeling, walked away with clarity on your activities and strategies versus your outcomes, and some sense and consensus on the sequencing of those outcomes, that's probably 50, maybe 75% of the value of this. Now, beyond that, the other terms, inputs, outputs, mediators, moderators, assumptions, conditions, all those sorts of things, to me, done correctly, those are all ways of helping to flesh out your understanding of your program. But they build on this fundamental core understanding. Here's what we do, here's what's supposed to happen because of it in the short, mid, and long term.
Tom, you've noted that logic models can be useful for strategic management and for program evaluation. Tell us more about that.
Okay, what I would typically do is see logic models as varying in format and in level of complexity and detail, depending upon what the purpose is. So in my work at CDC, I use logic models, or very, very high level general ones, more often or as often in strategic planning as I do in evaluation. And when I do it in strategic planning, I limit the first discussion usually to that discussion of activities versus the sequencing of outcomes. And that might be where I try and draw in some boxes and arrows to help people understand what leads to what. And there, it's helpful in strategic planning both as a way to verify that everyone has the same understanding of the program being planned and what's supposed to happen. And it works retrospectively or prospectively. If I use it retrospectively, what I typically do is say, look, you've been doing this for about 3 years. You want to do a strategic tune-up. Let's look at what you say about yourselves. Here's what it looks like in a little roadmap-y logic model. Now let's look at what parts of this are going well, what parts of this are going poorly, which of these arrows look like they're strong, which of these arrows look weak. If you use it prospectively, it's the exact same conversation. It's just that you're speaking in the future tense. As you look at this group of activities and these group of outcomes, how far to the right on that outcome side do you see us being likely to get with this intensity of a program? Where do you feel good about these arrows? You think there's a strong research base. Where do you feel like it's grossly speculation or practice wisdom? So that takes care of the planning piece. The reason I'd like to do that is that then sets up the discussion of evaluation and measures, but it sets it up as intimately and intricately linked to the planning discussion. So what happens in traditional strategic planning is you use a set of terms like goals, objectives, and strategies, and suddenly when you turn to evaluation, you're using another set of terms, activities, outcomes, etc. This assures from the start that you're kind of laying out the picture of the program at a high level, and then the questions of, well, what do we measure, where should our process measures be, which outcomes should we measure, et cetera, becomes a lot easier to have because you're relating it. It's easier to create this dashboard when you're looking at a whole picture of the program.
Many agencies give grants, as we know, at the federal and state and local levels. At the CDC, they're called Funding Opportunity Announcements, FOAs, and you found that requiring a logic model as part of that process has helped you clarify what prospective grantees are proposing and also to examine the logic and the evidence behind their approach. Tell us more about that, because I think the lessons there apply far beyond the CDC.
So when people are sending money out the door, in the old days we'd send really thick funding opportunity announcements, or FOAs. It might be 200 pages, and you would be sure you were very clear to the grantee on what you were asking them to do and what you were asking them to, what was supposed to result from what they did. We now require people to do a really straightforward, simple logic model. I don't think anyone in the evaluation would recognize it as a logic model. Actually, it's just a 3 or 4 column table, and that column 1 says, here's what the grantee's going to do. These are their activities or strategies. Column 4 says, this is the big public health outcome they're going to contribute to. And columns 2 and 3 in the center are really where the action happens. And that says, over the course of this funding period, here's the outcomes that should result from the grantees' activities if they've done a good job. And I've been pleased to see how helpful this table is in helping people unravel confusion they have about what they're asking the grantee to do versus what they're asking the grantees' efforts to result in. And I think that's because we traditionally have used planning language like objectives, which often is very double-barreled. And we'll say things like, you need to disseminate information so as to change public health practice. Well, that's double-barreled. You don't know if you're asking someone to disseminate information or change public health practice. That doesn't happen with this table. From the start, the grantee knows, I am to do an activity called disseminating information. I'm being held accountable for showing that that information actually changed public health practice. So that's been a really major advantage.
Finally, Tom, do you have any pieces of advice for public leaders and managers about using and creating logic models?
Yeah. First off, I think this stuff is really obvious and really basic and intuitive. So I think the first thing is to reassure yourself that there's nothing complex about this. Anybody should be able to say, here's what I do, here's what I'm hoping to accomplish, and if asked to draw in some boxes and arrows, even if they don't have a strong evidence base for their program, should say, you know, and at least at the practice wisdom level, here's what I think is going to happen. We're doing the training to get to physicians. We're doing the public education to get to the public. We're hoping the public will then change the minds of physicians. Now, none of this makes it right or wrong. You're just aiming for clarity. So I think, first off, lowering the bar of expectation and also lowering the bar of how precise this needs to be is very helpful. And secondly, a little bit of this goes a long way. I think it's easy to get caught up in the format and the look of the logic model and fail to remember that the purpose of this was really to come away with a better understanding than you started with, that we have clarity and we have consensus on the basic questions. What is it we're going to do as a program? What's supposed to result? Who's supposed to change? And do we agree on sort of the order in which those changes are going to occur?
We'll end this portion of the interview here, but the conversation's going to continue. I'm going to ask Tom to explain and define a few more key terms involved in logic models, including inputs, modifiers, and outputs, and I'll post his answer to the blog. But for now, Tom Chappell from the CDC, thanks for being with us.
Great. Thanks, Andy. I appreciate this.